How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bible, stand up and hold it above your head. Bear witness of God's Word. We'll be using this today. All right, you may be seated. If you would, please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke, chapter 17. When you find your places, say, I have it. Luke 17. Today I want to speak to you on the subject of please and thank you. You say, is this going to be all about manners? Well, maybe our manners to God, please and thank you. What do we try to teach our kids? Say what? Say please. And then we try to teach them, say thank you. But I want to show you how important this is, just the please and thank you part, as far as it relates to our blessings that we receive from God, our closeness to Him. Just simply entitled, please and thank you. And you've watched the kids. You were able to see that these kids, whenever they received these fruity snacks and children's sermon, whatever it took to get them, what did they say? They had no problem saying what?
Please.
Let's say that together.
Please.
Again.
Please.
I'm here to tell you as a parent that once my children knew that was the magic word, I could tell the degree of how bad they wanted it. Please, 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 please. Have you ever heard that, parents? Please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, right? That means I really want it. I want it bad. But I can also tell you, as soon as someone gets what they want, sometimes they get it, they become distracted, and boy, they have it in their hand, and they're on to the next thing. The please is a lot easier than the thank you, isn't it? I get distracted from the thank you, and today I want to talk to you about please and thank you, first of all, I guess by defining what both of these mean in simple terms. And you say, well, we know what they mean, but just for the sake of definition. Please, when we say please, we're basically saying, I beg you. I beg you. Or, can you show favor to me? When you say please, you are asking someone to show favor to you. In other words, you're saying please to the giver. You wouldn't be saying please if the person didn't have it to give, right? If I were to look down and if I were to see that Blake had $20 and Gabe did not, and I wanted $20, I would not go to Blake and say, please give me $20. Who would I go to? I would go to the giver and I would say, give me $20, Gabe. So please is something that we say to the giver. We're saying, can you show favor on me? We don't seem to have a hard time saying please because it comes before the thing that we're asking for. But thank you is different. It comes after we get what we've asked for. You know, sometimes there's this chemical thing that happens in our mind when we finally get what we want, right? So why do we have such a hard time with a heartfelt thank you? I mean a true heartfelt thank you. Not just as a way of saying that part of getting something is basically thank you. I'm talking about a heartfelt thank you. You know, God puts thank you in a praise category. This is what's different about please and thank you. God puts thank you in the praise category because once you get something, you say thank you. You're praising the giver. But please is in a different category. Not a bad one. Please is in a believing category. Do you realize that? Praise is in a thank you category, or thank you is in a praise category, but please is in a believing. So nothing wrong with please. As a matter of fact, in order for someone to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have to cry out to God and say, please. And you wouldn't say please if you didn't really believe they have it, no more than I would say please to the person that didn't have the 20, right? So in order for somebody to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they would have to be able to say please. So nothing wrong with please. But thank you. Thank you is when you identify the giver. Understand this and the significance for it. I see we have a little problem because in all of us, it's easy to say please for something that we want. But there's so many things that keep us from saying thank you. You say, why is that a problem? Because understand, when we leave this earth, if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we're all going to be spending eternity in heaven together, there will be no more please. It will all be thank you.
That's right.
And so we better learn the thank you part, right?
Amen.
In the past weeks, we celebrated Thanksgiving. We observed this day as a holiday, which is a good thing. But giving thanks on a daily basis is something that we sometimes struggle with because our days don't always go the way we think our days should go. On an everyday basis, someone may say, "How is your day? Are you having a good day?" What's my standard answer? Somebody tell me. Every day is a good day. Every day is a good day. Oh, yeah. Good, positive thinking. Every day is a good day. You mean your day went the way it's supposed to? No. But I've accepted that I don't know the way my day is supposed to go sometimes. What about you? Right? But every day is a good day. A day that the Lord gives you is a good day. God, thank you for the breath that you gave me today. Right? It's a good day. That may not have went the way I wanted it to. And so in that, sometimes I may find it hard to say, thank you, God, for this thing that happened. Thank you for this dilemma in my life. Thank you for this news from the doctor. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you that this didn't go anything the way I wanted it to. Thank you that those people have what I've been wanting to have. That's hard, isn't it? You see, I don't think we put enough emphasis on giving thanks. We talked about Thanksgiving this past week, and we had a Thanksgiving service Wednesday, but I'm talking about true, sincere, consistent thank yous to God. We're pretty good at asking God for things and even believing He can do it, but giving thanks to God is something that's usually reserved for the beginning of our prayer. As a matter of fact, I find myself even in my prayers, maybe you have too, grouping all the things that God has given me and just saying, "Thank you, Lord, for all my blessings. Now on to my request." Anybody? God, thanks for all the things you've given me. Now, God, could you please do this and please do this and please do this? It's almost like I've taken everything He's given me and I've put it together, but I've chosen to itemize the things that I'm going to say please for, right? Oh, come on. We do that, don't we? It's like I'm focused on the please part, but the thank you, oh God, you know what I mean, right? You see, we have to be sure that we're not just praying through our thanks to get to our please. Praying through our thanks to get to our pleas. Guilty? We are, aren't we? You see, we need to know God wants us to come to Him with an attitude of thanksgiving. And giving thanks is something God commands us to do because it opens our communication with Him. It strengthens our relationship with Him. It acknowledges God as the giver. Anytime I say thank you, that means you gave me something. And God wants to be acknowledged as the giver. Amen. And do you realize that if we would spend our time thanking God the way we should, you wouldn't be so unhappy. So discouraged, so dissatisfied. You say, "I don't know why, I don't have any peace." You know, check first your thanks to God. You know, I'm as guilty as anybody else is, and you know, on a week that we have, we talk about Thanksgiving, I think sometimes I can stand up and preach, or I can talk, or somebody can preach to me, or all of us, we have this idea, this feeling here to where we feel like, okay, we need to say, we need to give Thanksgiving. We need to be thankful. But it sort of stops at that thought. I'm talking about true, sincere thanks. Like, do I really consider the one to be thanked, the giver? Let's take God, for example. God, to be willing to say, "Hey, Mike, I love you. And because I love you, I'm willing to see my son, Jesus Christ." I was willing to see him beaten. I was willing to see him mocked. People made fun of him. You know how it is when somebody says something about your kid, right? But I was willing to see him mocked. And I let them spit in his face. And then they beat the meat off of his back and they hung him up as a public ridicule and mocked him and put a crown of thorns on his side. On his head, pierced him in the side with a spear, because I love you. And I created this world, but I love you. Man, if I can't say thanks for that, then what's wrong with me? And then for Jesus Christ to say, "Hey, even to the ones that did it, but Father, please forgive them. I'm dying for them too. Please forgive them." I mean, I would have to say thank you, but I lose that, don't I? I lose it, and we lose it. We just sort of group it together and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the blessings." I read in Hebrews 13, That God wants us to thank him for being the giver. And you don't have to turn there because we're going to read this story in Luke. But basically Hebrews 13 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. How often should we praise God? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Yes, giving thanks is a show of sacrifice that we give to God. Listen to this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Well, that means that please comes natural to me, but thanks, that's a sacrifice. Do you get that? I thought that's pretty neat. Please comes natural for all of us. Do I want that? Please, please, please. Can I have it? Please, can I have it? Thanks. Thanks, that's not in my natural man. That's a sacrifice. That's what God loves about it, is that I've sacrificed me and my mindset, maybe part of the mindset that says, I think I deserve it. Maybe part of the mindset that, I did that myself. Maybe part of the mindset that says, well, I had it coming to me. Maybe part of the mindset, well, you can just go on and fill in the blanks, right? See, thank you doesn't come natural, so it's a sacrifice for me to say it. That's why God considers it a praise. I think it's pretty ironic. We listened and we talked Wednesday night in our Thanksgiving service. You know, we went back and we threw back on some history just about the pilgrims and Governor Bradford, William Bradford, coming over and declaring it a day of thanksgiving and thanking God for all those things. But then we looked in the book of 1 Chronicles and we saw that David, when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he declared thanksgiving way before. And he says, I will praise God, I will thank him. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Amen. And that phrase rang throughout the book of Psalms. It was a song. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. So here's what I want to say. No matter what I have to be able to thank God for his mercy. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is different than grace. Grace is what God gives us that we don't deserve. It's God giving us something that we have no way of deserving it. God gave it to me, right? In other words, it's by grace that God has given me today. God gave me breath today I didn't deserve to have, right? Mercy is different. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. In other words, God didn't give me death today, which I did deserve. You get that? So mercy is different. So David is saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endureth. Well, his mercy goes on and on. In other words, we're going to enjoy his mercy forever. Amen. None of us have earned our way to heaven. None of us can buy our way to heaven. None of us have logically or have enough intellect to get to heaven. So by mercy, we've all been bad enough. You know you and I know me. Have we not been bad enough? But God showed mercy on us. So that was his prayer, but Psalms 106.1, Psalms 107.1, Psalms 108.1, or 118.1, excuse me, Psalms 118.29, Psalms 136.1, all says this. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. So I want to talk about thanks in the way of mercy and please in the way that, we say it. And there's a story in the Bible that is a please and thank you story. We need to read this story. It's about the application of please and thank you. It comes from the book of Luke chapter 17. And it's about a group of men that were lepers. Does anybody know what lepers are? That's not a word that we use. Today, we have different dermatology experts that have different phrases. But leprosy was basically a disease of the skin. It's an outward disease. It's where your skin has sores or maybe boils. Or it becomes a place where your skin is rotting off and it can disfigure you. In other words, if it is attacking your skin and you have the disease of leprosy, it could disfigure things on your face depending on where it's concentrated at. And because of this, if someone has this leprosy, they're sort of repulsive to be around. In other words, we would more likely say, okay, to our kids, don't stare at that person because that person's outward appearance looks different. And then maybe if that person were enjoying something that we wanted, well, we wouldn't probably take it after they took it. We would say, oh, no, thank you, no, thank you, right? Because we don't want to get what you've got. And then when we talk to them, we would not look at them because they don't look pleasing to the eye. So here's a colony of lepers, 10 lepers. So start reading with me. Luke 17. Verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Who is going to Jerusalem? This is Jesus, okay? And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voice and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Listen, thy faith hath made thee whole. So it's a pretty powerful story, but right beside of this in your Bible, I want you to write, please and thank you. Please and thank you. You see, verse 11 and 12, we just get the little geographical background here. You see, Jesus was traveling. He was on his way to Jerusalem, but he was outside of the city. On the outskirts of a village, he encountered 10 lepers. You see, this is important to know. He encountered them on the outside. If you read verses 11 and 12, it tells us that it came to pass as he went into Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, you know why he saw them as he entered? They weren't allowed to be in the village. See, the lepers had to be outcast because they had, somebody remind me, what was it a disease of? It was leprosy. It was a disease of the skin. It was an outward thing. But you know, we're really concerned with outward stuff, aren't we? It's outward stuff. And see, you know, I see these men as being outcast, and Jesus stopped. But I want you to notice something. The lepers, as he entered this certain village, they were given a place to live outside of the village. And people didn't just kill them. They were put in their place because the Bible made reference in Leviticus 13. It said that those that were covered with leprosy were to be outcast outside until, let's just say they were healed of leprosy or the leprosy went away. Here's the process. I want to go through the process with you. Let's say I have leprosy. I have leprosy and people are looking at me, but people don't want it. They're nice to me, but they say, okay, you have to live out here. Then I'm one of these 10. Here's what has to happen. In order for my life to go back to normal, because see, if I have leprosy, I had to leave my family, I had to leave my friends because nobody wanted me around. They didn't want to catch leprosy or they didn't want to have somebody that had this nasty stuff on them. So they put me out here. Now, in order for me to get back to normalcy and get back to life, I had to first appear to be cleansed of leprosy. And then after that, here's the protocol. I have to go to the priest and the priest has to look at me and declare, you look clean. And he would pronounce me clean. But if he looked at me and he saw that I still had things on me, he would pronounce me unclean. Now, he wouldn't take my temperature. He wouldn't do any kind of diagnostic exam. He would just look at the outside of me. And he would determine whether I was clean or unclean. And then after he pronounced me clean, I could go back to my family. I could go back to my job. I could go back to my friend group. It would be all good because I was clean. But I wasn't considered clean until the priest told me that I was clean. That was God's safety net there that he had with the people because the people had such an aversion to this leprosy. But I want you to notice something. I think this is pretty neat. I want you to listen to the lepers. Please. They had a please that came in verse 13. I want you to look at what they did. As Jesus came by, the Bible says they lifted up their voices. That means they weren't talking with this voice. They were talking with this voice. They weren't ashamed. They didn't meekly just say, Jesus. Amen. Right? What did they say? Jesus. They were crying out, Jesus, Jesus. Listen. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Amen. What does that mean? That means, please give us something that we don't deserve and don't give us what we do deserve, right?
That's right.
Have mercy on us. That is a humble cry, right? That is the way Every single person ever born has to come to Jesus Christ to receive his salvation. We have to be able to say, God, I am a sinner. I am not denying it. I realize I've sinned, and I believe that the only way I can come to you, God, is to accept your son, Jesus. Please have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. That's when someone receives Jesus as their Savior. Now, you say they didn't say please. They said, Jesus, have mercy on us. You know what have mercy on us means? Please. Who are they asking? They're asking the only one that could give them mercy. They're asking the giver. They're saying, please. You see, this was a common cry, but the fact that they cried it to Jesus and they called him Master and Lord means that they believed. See, please is a part of believing. Nothing wrong with them crying out to God. They wouldn't have asked him to heal them if he couldn't, right? So here's a belief. I want to applaud these lepers right now. They had enough belief, enough faith. You say, well, that's all the faith they needed was to come and believe. And I'm going to disagree. I have so many people say, you just have to have the faith to believe to please God. Well, God tells you without faith, it's impossible to please him. But you know what you have to have with that? You're going to see here. All of these 10 believed. That was enough to get them healed. But there's something else that one of them had. Look at verse 14. Here's what Jesus told them to do. He said, hey guys, you've cried out. You've said, please, 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 please heal me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and show yourself to the priest. He's the one that will pronounce you clean or unclean. Now, I know these guys were believers because they weren't healed right then. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And if you read on down, you'll realize they didn't realize they were clean. They weren't cleansed until they got on their way. So at that moment of time, any kind of smart aleck or non-believer would have said, why do we want to show ourselves to the priest? We're not cleansed. But they didn't. These were believers. Notice this. Read it with me. Verse 14 and 15. It says, and when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. When were they cleansed? Before they went? No. They had to actually turn a show of faith towards the priest, and then they were cleansed. That's pretty neat, isn't it? He didn't cleanse them and say, hey, now go show the priest. He's like, go show the priest yourself. I had to take a strong belief. That's like saying, God, I don't know where it's coming. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm going to believe you for it, right? That's a strong faith. Nothing wrong with that faith. Look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he just happened to look down when he was on his way to the priest, right? Flapping his arms, and all of a sudden he goes, I'm cleansed. I'm cleansed. I know now why he said, He blessed us. He blessed our pleas. And he did something totally different than the rest of them. You see, in verse 15, one of them realized on his way to the priest that he had been healed. And verse 15, I love it. Underline this. It says, he turned back. He didn't go to the priest. He turned to go back to the one that healed him. And here's what it says in verses 15 and 16, I think is pretty neat. It says, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. You remember, all their voices were loud saying, please, please, right? They lifted their voice. Now listen to this. Pretty neat. All this is right in this scripture. Isn't it amazing? It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. What do you think his word of glorification is? Verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Can I tell you something? This man had the best day. He said, well, he had to have a good day. He was healed of leprosy. This is what I don't want you to miss. All of them were healed of leprosy. That was only the first part of the blessing. This guy got the second part of the blessing, not with please, but with thank you. I want you to notice something. It's pretty big. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He went to the giver and he humbled himself. And Luke even adds he was a Samaritan. That means he was a stranger. He was not even a Jew. And Jesus answering, listen to what Jesus says. It comes together, verse 16, he fell at his feet. Giving him thanks, he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, verse 19, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This guy came back giving this great thanks, and Jesus received his thanks. I mean, how could Jesus not receive thanks when you fall at his feet and say thank you? But notice Jesus' next question. Weren't there 10 of you? And Jesus knew there were 10. He said, where's the 9? What did Jesus really want from them? He wanted the praise that would go to God because they would be healed. Their pleas was great. Don't get me wrong. The pleas was great. It showed great faith. But great faith doesn't just bring us into that relationship with God and keep us there, because by nature, we fall out of great faith. You say, oh, I don't know about this. Okay, I have fallen out of great faith. Whether you want to admit to it or not, have you? Anybody? Not believing in the existence of God, but believing in God's ability to do things in my life. By the way, I'll go ahead and preface this. If you've worried, been anxious, you've fallen out of great faith, right? Okay? So, it puts us all in the same boat. You see, verse 17, we see this one man was doing the right thing, giving thanks first. He asked where the other 9 were, because no one came back to give glory to God but the stranger. Well, here's the interesting thing. I want you to look what happened at the one that gave thanks first. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, for thy faith has made thee whole. Made thee whole. Made thee whole. You say, well, wouldn't he be whole when his skin was fixed? No. How many people have ever asked God for something and God's granted it? Amen? And you never had any other problem the rest of your life? No? You mean God could heal me what I'm saying, please, 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 God. God could actually give it to me, and on that same day, there would be something else that I would need to say please, please, please for. You see, the only way to be made whole is not just to be healed outside, but to be healed inside. These 9 had the faith to believe for something to be healed outside, but this 10th one was made completely whole. He could go on his way. You say, well, what happened here? It's pretty interesting, because I was asking myself as I was studying this and I was going over all this Thanksgiving material, the incredible thing was that I looked back in my life and I asked myself how many times I've been one of the 9. How many times have you been one of the 9? Well, what do you mean? Well, you see, on that day, 10 lepers were healed of their outside problem, but only one was made whole inside and out. The reason is his faith and belief was followed by thanksgiving to God first, before he went on to enjoy the gift of God. And so for that, the leper was healed inside as well as outside. And what I'm trying to say is, here's what happens. It's like we're these lepers and we have to cry out to God, and we cry out to God and we say, please, please, God, please, please. And then when God grants it and we realize God has granted it, the first thing on our mind is like the 9 lepers, and they're like, hey, let's get back to the priest so he can say we're cleansed. I get back to my family, back to my wife, back to my job. Now, God, I've got this blessing, and guess what? I get back to the problem with my family and the problem with my wife and the problem with my job, because all that happened was an outside thing got fixed. There was no peace, but this one, he had peace. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It is hard to go around miserable, unhappy, and discouraged when you're in a thankful spirit to God. Hard to do. If you're always just drudging up and looking, it's hard to be happy. It's hard to have peace. But if you're thanking God, listen, this week was Thanksgiving. I was all into this Thanksgiving scripture the last couple of weeks, and I was looking, and God was showing these things. And so I chose this week just for days just not to ask God for anything. Normally, you know, and I believe God believes in please. And so I have different kind of lists that I pray through every day. And I'm sure you do. But this week was different. And I just spent this time just saying, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Right? Hey, I'm going to turn over here. And I stood up. Okay. I've made my first step. Which isn't like it used to be, believe me, right?
Right. Come on, brother.
Is this going to hitch today? Okay, there's one. All right, now we're going, right? Can I get a witness? Anybody? Anybody over 45 that's happening to right now, right? Right, so thank you, God. Let me get into the bathroom. Thank you, God, for the bathroom, right? There's the mirror. Let me look in here. Guess what? A bald-headed man looks the same first thing in the morning as he does if he's dressed up to a black tie dinner at night. Thank you, God, for no hair, right? Don't have to fix anything. I'm ahead of everybody else, right? That's it right there, right? Thank you, God, for the shoes you gave me, right? Thank you, God. As I take my steps and go in there, there's my wife. Thank you for my wife, right? At the end of the breakfast time, I'm washing dishes. I'm thinking, thank you, God, for dirty dishes. We talked about that on Thanksgiving, right? Some people can't dirty them up. You walk out and you see the child walk out. Thank you, God, for that child. Thank you that he's walking. Thank you for this. That. And you just spend that time. You can't be unhappy. You can't. I'm telling you, try it. You can't. Because you're focusing on the things that God has given you. You have a thankful spirit. But I've been one before that hasn't been happy. But I can look, and those two times don't correlate. When I've been in a thankful mindset, I've been in the best mood the last couple of days. I wonder why. Well, I've been spending my time thanking instead of pleasing. It hadn't been please, please, please. It's been thank you, thank you, thank you. It's different, isn't it? This leper. Oh, and I'm not the standard you set yourself by the way. I'm just saying, hey, I happened to do it this week. I knew I was preaching, so there you go, right? But I wonder how many times I've been one of the nine. You see, sometimes we act like these nine lepers. We ask God for external things, and when God gives us external healing, we get so caught up in enjoying them that we fail to get the real gift that comes after the Thanksgiving. You see, the real blessing comes after the Thanksgiving. We get so caught up in saying, okay, look what's happened. And we take whatever it is God's given us. God, can you let this happen in my life? Let this happen. And so we get into it so much that we're not thanking God with worship. We're not thanking God with praise. We're not thanking God with our time. We're not thanking God with our singing. We're not thanking God with this. We're busy enjoying what God gave us. And so for that, you're going to lose your peace. Because it can't be all about please. All of us have external problems that we focus on, but our external problems and the solving of those are not going to give us everlasting peace. Think of the thing right now that you want to happen in your life. Please, think about it. Is it bigger than having your skin rotting off, dying of leprosy? Now think about it. Maybe it is. You want this to happen, okay? Boom, you asked for it. God lets it happen. I'm talking about a personal thing. God, let this happen to me. Let this happen in my life. Let this happen with either something about me or relationship or something. If God gives it to you today, immediately, will that give you everlasting peace? No. But what this 10th leper got by falling at God's feet and being in a spirit of thank you, he had peace. He was made whole inside and outside. I think this is neat, right? Now, a couple of things that I do admit is that, you know, we can't help this sometimes. We're programmed this way. We're programmed to think that we're supposed to say thank you after someone gives us something, but with God, thank you is what he loves before he gives the real gift. We just get into that mindset. It just sort of comes with us. We have a carnal nature. I mean, think about it. God wants to thank you before he gives the real gift. Jesus, when he stood in the midst of the 5,000 to give them loaves and fishes, right? Fish, Fish would be plural. Yeah, he gave them loaves and fish, right? Did he thank God for the blessing and making the miracle before or after the miracle? Before, right? Well, before we have true fellowship with God that brings us peace, he wants us to give him thanks before. You know, we need to be thankful for our salvation on a daily basis. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, that's our victory. So what does that mean? That means no matter what happened, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Victory, right? That's why we sing victory in Jesus so much. It's my praise song, right? When you're a preacher, you can pick you a song and you can sing it, okay? But for now, page 182, right? Why? Because I have victory in him. And I'm wanting to rub it in the devil's face every time I get a chance to, right? Why? Because I'm thanking him. You sought me and you bought me. Sought me means you looked intently for me, and you bought me means you gave something precious, right? So how can I not be thankful? I don't know, but it sure happens. Doesn't it? Does it happen to you? With all that we have. With all that I said, I got up and thanked God for the other day in the first 2 hours of my life, on any other given day, I could have seen something that would have basically wiped the shine off of my apple, right? And I would have not thanked God. I would have dwelled in whatever it was that I was not getting, that I was trying to say please for. What about you? So how can I be so two different people? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells me, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, yes, in everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Hebrews 13:15, it says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You've been in a bad mood? You've been in sort of a discouraging funk in your life? Hey, here's a remedy. Try 2 days of doing nothing but giving thanks. See how that works for you. But you're going to be battling against a lot of things that are inside of you that keep us from doing that. You see, giving thanks is what opens the door for God's real gift of peace and blessings in our life. You may get what you think it is you're asking God for by saying, please, please, but the peace, and peace is priceless. How many people have lived without peace in your life and lived with peace? You know the difference is priceless. You can't buy peace, can you?
That's right. Come on, brother.
You see, this last leper got peace. That's what we really want. When you say, I want this house or this car, I want this stability or I want this money, it's all about you thinking that that's going to give you peace, really. Peace is what we're all after. God tells us to come into his presence with thanksgiving in Psalms 100, right? Enter his courts that way. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not a psychology professor, but, you know, I am a sinner. I've had some issues in my life, and I've had some issues of please and thank you issues between me and God. Maybe you have. And I've also listened to a lot of people that have peace issues. And so I wrote down a couple of things. Maybe they apply, maybe they don't, but I think that there are different kinds of attitudes that we have. The wrong attitude can keep us from being thankful. So I'm sure it doesn't apply to you, but maybe you know somebody this applies to. So as you listen to these, see if it makes sense to you. You see, I think we're geared this way, and in order to be able to have that peace through thanksgiving, I think we need to be able to identify these attitudes if they would happen to be in us. And the first one is, of course, an attitude of pride. And that's the first one we have to be on guard for. An attitude of pride keeps us from being thankful. Do you know that? Yeah. Why? Well, because we feel like in some way that everything that we've gotten, we have earned in some way. So how can you thank God if you think you earned it? Oh, no, Pastor Mike, listen, I have studied hard. I've done all this. I made these expectations. I'm smarter. I'm this and that. Listen, that is an arrogancy where you're never going to give praise to God because you think you earned it. Well, I've worked hard. I've done this. I've saved. I've planned. Go ahead and thank yourself and go on. Right. You know why? Because you have an attitude of pride.
That's right.
God gave you the cognitive ability to add 1 plus 1. How can you take the effort for passing a test because you studied? How can you as a parent take the effort for supplying or providing for your family or keeping them safe? How can I take the thanks whenever God gave me the breath to go out and actually earn a living to support my family? It's not me that gets thanks, it's Him. But a prideful attitude will say, hey, you know what I'm doing for you? You know what I've got here? Listen, give me the praise. I'm never going to thank God if it's always my prideful attitude. You see, we look at all of our effort and then we compare it to our accomplishments and we begin to think that we are the reason for the things that we have. This, of course, causes us to thank ourselves, whether we do it out loud or whether we do it silently. It becomes an attitude that lets us glory in ourselves. In any case, it keeps us from thanking God for what we have. Maybe you know somebody like that. The second attitude that we have besides pride, where we think we've done it, an attitude that will keep us from thanking God, is a complaining attitude. A complaining attitude keeps us from being thankful. When someone has a complaining attitude, they only see the things that they didn't get to go their way. They only see the things that didn't go the way they wanted them to. This person isn't grateful for the things that they're blessed with, or maybe they are momentarily, but then immediately they find something that dissatisfies them and they feel they need to point out these things. This is a complaining attitude. You'll hardly ever see someone with a complaining attitude be thankful. I just inherited $100,000. Oh, some of you looked up. No, I didn't really. This is an example, okay? I just inherited $100,000. Here's my next comment. Do you know what kind of taxes I'm going to have to pay on that? That's a complaining attitude. That's not looking at what I'm to be thankful for. That is looking past and saying, okay, all right, I've got this. Now, what's wrong with this? Right? The next attitude that keeps us from being thankful is an attitude of distraction. And probably it's a longer definition than just distraction, but I'll let you see. You see, when someone continually looks past what they have now and begins to focus on what they want, they will never take time to be thankful for what they have. They're distracted by what they want. Actually, the thing that distracts this kind of person is greed to have more than they have now. So actually, we could call this an attitude of being distracted by greed. Yes, it's good, but this is what I'm shooting for. So pride and prideful attitude, a complaining attitude, and this attitude of distraction by greed. I want more. You're never going to thank God for what you have if you're focused on just the more, more. Here's the key. You're never going to get the more, more. Because it was just a please, please, and never a thank you, right? You see, the next attitude that can keep us from being thankful, and this is a big one, is the attitude of expectancy. This attitude is when we expect to have the things that we have because we think we're entitled to have them. That's a big sense of entitlement. That's sweeping across generations today. It's an entitlement mentality. You see, the things that we have become commonplace. We begin to look over them as blessings because we've had them for a while, right? So we can't thank God but just when we get it, and then we look over it because this is what we want next because, well, doggone it, we deserve it, right? And I was born this way, and this is what I deserve, and I am this way, and this is what I deserve, and I'm entitled this way, and this is what I deserve. And it's a sense of entitlement. Someone that thinks they're entitled to everything is never going to be happy. They're never going to have peace. Well, why? Because they're looking over what they have, looking with expectancy to what they think they deserve. That's why you look around at a whole nation full of people, and they're not happy with anything. Not happy with anything. Turn on the news, see how many happy people you see. The next attitude that keeps us from being thankful is the attitude of jealousy. This is a biggie because this is when we compare what we have to others. This is an attitude when we fail to look at what we have to be thankful for because we're always looking at what someone else has that we don't have. Makes you bitter, doesn't it? So we keep looking at what we think we should have because someone else does, and we fail to look at what we actually do have to be thankful for. We're jealous. Well, they have it. I do just as much, and I work here. This happens to me, and so why do they have it? I want to get this. We've been doing this. Why don't we have this? It's an attitude of jealousy. That person's never going to be thankful for what they have because the other person has what they think they want. But when they get that and they keep that attitude, there'll be somebody else that has something they think they need to want. They won't be happy with what they have there. Actually, this attitude leads to the attitude of pride. It leads to the attitude of complaining. It leads to the attitude of being distracted by greed and also the attitude of expectancy. So I think we see a lot of these attitudes, surely in the people that we know need to get them fixed and come back to God with an attitude of thanks. Maybe we know somebody like that. Maybe we are, just a stretch, but maybe we are one of those nine. And our pleas is fine. There's nothing wrong with our pleas. We have a good believing spirit. And we say, please, 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 God. But we wonder why we're Christians and we believe, and why we still just don't have a peace. I would say we probably need to think the sincerity of our thank you. When you think about that, that's the second part. That's the blessing part. Remember the one? He left there how? Whole, right? There's a big lesson in this. You see, I think we should look at our pleas and thank you to God and examine it. And we may see why we don't have the peace that God says we'll have. Our pleas may be fine, but we're missing what God wants us to give, which is our thank you. He's blessed us so much that this thing inside of us, this thing that makes us look out for ourselves so much, sort of gears us not to be able to truly, truly say thank you. And then when we do, we sort of group it all together in one big blessing pile and say, thanks, Lord. When's the last time that you looked and you said, my thank you is a lot stronger than my pleas? I tell you what, when your thank you is a lot stronger than your pleas, you won't be having to say please as much. It's a big deal. If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He asked you to say one simple phrase to Him. Please, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. See, that's a statement of belief. You're asking the giver, please have mercy on me. But then, there's none of us that deserve that, so that's an act of mercy. And if He shows that mercy, which He will, if you ask Him to forgive your sins and come into your heart and save you, He will do that today. Today, no matter who it is here, no matter what you've done in the past, He will wipe that sin away. It says, as far as the east is from the west, He'll forgive you of your sins. He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be a child of God, never to be separated from God again. You say, well, then you've got it made. No. Listen, then you have to live the rest of this life, and you don't need to live it with please. You need to live it with thank you. That's where the second part comes in. If you want the peace that comes from being a child of God, you have to get past please to thank you. So to anyone lost here today, focus on please. To anyone who's found salvation through God, check your thank you.
That's right.
Now pray with me, will you? Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your words, your message. I thank you, God, for letting us examine ourselves. I pray, God, that you would minister to each person here today. Lord, show us. Show us, Lord, if we're the leper that returned or if we're one of the nine. God, as your children come and bow down before you today at your feet, Lord, I pray you hear their prayers of thank you. And Lord, that blanket of peace is laid over them to where they can physically feel that peace just well over them, knowing that you've got them. I pray, God, that if there's anyone here in this place that's not sure of their salvation, maybe they've never truly believed, they've never said that please they needed to, I pray, God, that today is the day they accept your Son Jesus as their Savior. I pray you move in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.